appreciate that prayer. I ask that you continue to be in the mind and the spirit of prayer for a little while as we stand before you. We are of the same mind that we would continue to go through the articles of faith. It's not something that we do, every year, although it wouldn't be a bad thing to do. It's just at my pace, it may take us all year to get through them. But and then we'd be starting over again. So, no, hopefully it won't take that long. But so to remind you that the reason that we go through this is not because we're preaching the articles of faith, but because the articles of faith, we believe, are in line with the Holy Scriptures, and we want to reaffirm those things most surely believed amongst us. And so we had spent some time in the first article. I'm not satisfied, but we're going to move on. There is more to be said and more to be excited about that there's one God, that there's three persons, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and yet these three are one. And we believe those things, and it is the reason that it's number one is because if we don't believe there's only one God, and then the second one is about that this is His Scripture, then, we have a problem because if there's another God out there, and He probably has His own Word. So if we mess up on the first part, then it kind of, everything else crumbles because it's based on the fact that there's one God. And then the second article is we believe. And I like the fact that they all start with we believe. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God and the only rule of faith and practice. So we believe that the scriptures. Well, just so you know, and we have these references, if you hopefully you have those, we've talked about this enough that maybe you've had time to look up what those references that we've placed on our website that we give. By the way, these aren't the only references, and we're going to go to some other scriptures, Lord willing, that further prove why we believe this. Just so you see, we're not preaching articles of faith. I want you to see 2 Timothy, one of those references, 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, which is a scripture that you should be very familiar with, as I've heard it many times in my lifetime, and hopefully you've heard it many times from this pulpit. 3rd chapter, 2 Timothy, this is the Word of God, and Paul talks in regards to young Timothy in the 15th verse, and he said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now he's known them because he had a faithful mother. I think it was Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother, who taught him these things. It says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, hold on. I want to jump over there and grab that salvation, of course, and rightly divide it. But we're going to hold on to that for another time. We spent time on that before, but we'll spend time on it again. But he's talking about the Holy Scriptures. He's referring to, at this time, they have primarily Old Testament Scriptures. But I recently discovered that at this time, I believe they also had some of the New Testament Scriptures that Paul was also referring to. But anyway, that's whole nother tangent there. But the 16th verse, which is what we have referenced in our website reference, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So we're not preaching from the articles of faith. We're preaching from the Word of God, which would be 2 Timothy 3:16. And so that would be the focus of what we would like to bring your attention today. So we believe that all Scripture, it says we believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, which we believe to be all Scripture, from the beginning of Genesis to the end, Revelations, and everything in between, we believe are the Holy Scriptures. I can't just take parts of it that I like, that line up with what I believe is the truth, and get rid of some things. I can't just say, I think most of it is. I think parts of it are. We believe all of these Scriptures are the inspired Word of God. It's God's Word. Most of the time, when you find some false doctrine, they're going to go to Scripture. And they're going to pick out Scripture that lines up with whatever they're trying to promote as what they believe to be the truth. Now, if it is indeed a false doctrine, there will be other Scripture in the Scriptures. I know I'm using that word a lot. But there will be other Scriptures that would contradict that teaching of taking this Scripture out of context, or it's not applied to the right people, or applied in the right way, or they're not rightly dividing the word of truth, and it will contradict that. But if there's a Scripture, if there's a teaching or a doctrine that is true, you cannot find other doctrine that contradict that, because all Scripture is given of God. So it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So I do want to make that point about the rightly dividing word. And we don't have to go too far. We can just back up, of course. That's the direction we have to go. So I know it's the right direction. No, I'm just kidding. Not always. You know, we're not to be backsliders. I'm not implying that in any way. Return, return, you backsliding, for I am married unto you. But in 2 Timothy, same place we're at, we back up to the second chapter, where we just quoted this earlier. So we're really not going backwards, because we already kind of quoted this one. Alright, that's how we're going to leave it. Where he said that in the second chapter, 2 Timothy, the 15th verse, speaking to Paul, he says, I'm going to back up the 14th verse. Sorry. Of these things, put them in remembrance, because I want to include y'all too. Not just the preacher. I want to include everyone that's here. Put them, that's y'all, but it's also me. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. Wow, I didn't know we were going to use that one. But it sure is appropriate. It's a strong thing. He says, put them in remembrance. First of all, that means that none of us have a perfect memory, like I said earlier, and can remember. How are you doing with all the Scripture? If you're like me, even when I'm there, I have to bring my Bible with me, because I just don't have it all. I don't have as much as I want to have up here. But the Lord knows that. He knows that. And He's put in place for the brethren to bring it to our remembrance. And how many times does it, when it's brought to our remembrance, in power and demonstration of Spirit, it's like, wow, that's awesome. I remember that, but man, to remember it again, it's uplifting. But he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. Now, we can spend a lot of energy, a lot of time with even some Scripture, but it may not be for profit. And that's one thing I encourage you, as you share Scripture, you share your faith, you share your belief with other people. What's your motivation in sharing that? Is it for profit, or is it to prove a point? Is it to prove you're wrong and I'm right? I've done that. See, I can talk bad about that and tell you that was bad to do that. Don't do that. Is there profit? Is there fruit to be born? Then we have the right motivation. We're in the spirit, and we're sharing what we have for a profit. You see, but he says, charging them before the Lord. That's a pretty strong term there. As they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And he says to Timothy, and this is, of course, not just to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I've experienced that before. I felt that. And I believe any man who's called of God to preach has experienced it somewhere along the way, that they had not studied enough for the Lord to bring it back to their remembrance and they might be able to preach the word. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. I tell you what, that one scripture right there has come up in my mind more than almost any other scripture, because it's so important that we rightly divide the word of truth. And that's what I want you to put that with the fact that we believe all of this scripture is from God. Because there are many brethren, according to election, that are God's people, God's children, and yet they're not our brethren according to the gospel. They don't believe the same gospel that we believe. They don't believe the same doctrines that we believe. But they're still children of God. And they're still our brethren according to election. And they were our brethren when God chose them before, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. They're our brethren when Christ took upon their sins and our sins upon the cross of Calvary and nailed them to the cross. They're our brethren in the effectual call of God when He quickens them from a state of death and sin to life in Christ. They're our brethren. They cry, Abba Father, as well as we, because they're our brethren too. They're children of God. And they'll be His family, every one of them in eternity. But while we live here in this world, we have division amongst us. They don't believe as we believe these articles of faith, these teachings, these doctrines. And we should be careful not to look down on any of God's children, because realizing that if I see any truth, any understanding, any light, if I see the truth of the gospel as God has laid it forth and faithful men have preached it down through the years, I know it's because of the grace of God. And His brothers prayed, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to have these things, but God has given them to me by His grace and by His mercy. But there are those that have, I'll get back eventually to my point. There are God's children that use the same scriptures that we use. Now, I'm not going off on the entire subject of exactly which translation. We believe, I will say this though, because I don't want to leave it hanging. We believe it's not, and in some people's articles of faith, they've added that. It's interesting it's not here, because it wasn't an issue when these articles in 1830, it wasn't an issue about what the scriptures were in 1830. They had the King James translation, and pretty much everybody had the King James translation here in the United States. I'm not saying there's not other translations that existed at that time, but pretty much everybody in 1830 in this neck of the woods had, if they had a Bible, they were all the same Bible. And they didn't have to say, we believe the King James translation is the Holy Scriptures of God. That's why. Now, some of our brethren have updated articles of faith to include that, because now it's an issue. And it wasn't an issue. But what I was going to say is, how do we, you know, speaking in depth on that, and if that's a problem for you, and I've studied that some, but I don't feel to be an expert. But I'm not worried that I don't have the Word of God. If you are, I can give you some resources and things to better make you feel better about it. And I've attained some resources and I've read some articles and things. I'm not worried that I don't have the Word of God. But if you are and you're concerned about it, please let me know. Because I believe you can get to that point, and it's not a difficult thing to get to. To believe that we hold in the King James translation, that we hold the inspired and preserved Word of God. And I think it's important for us to have that assurance of it. But we believe this is the inspired Word of God. But my point in saying that, I'm trying to going around circles, trying to get back over there in that circle. We have some brethren, though, that have the King James translation, that are our brethren according to election, but yet they don't believe these doctrines. How can that be? They would probably have this exact same article in their, if they have articles of faith, they might have this exact same article in their articles of faith. If you were to ask many of them and say, well, you know, we here at Calpo Supreme Baptist Church, we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the Word of God and the only rule of faith and practice. And they might say, amen. And yet, as we went through the rest of the articles of faith and maybe some other teachings, we would see that we don't have the same doctrines. We don't have the same teachings. And yet we have the same Scripture. How is that possible? Then we have to add, or our understanding of it, is to take this other text that we went to, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we both have the word of truth. We both have all the Holy Scriptures. But if you divide, first of all, if you don't divide it at all, you're going to get false doctrine. This scripture here says that dividing it is necessary. That it's necessary to divide the scripture. There's different ways to divide the scripture. Obviously, if he says there's a right way to divide it, that logically implies there's a wrong way to divide it. And let me just give a couple quick examples. No, I should never say the word quick. No, my wife's like, amen, when it comes to that. We could go over to the Psalms and I could say, I could take out of the Scripture and I could use it out of context, inappropriately. And I've given this one before, so you've been around me much, you know where I'm going. But I could just say, the Bible teaches, and the Bible proves, and I can go and read the Bible, and read all the Scriptures, and prove to you that there is no God. Now, wait a second. I thought we spent the last two Sundays reinforcing the fact that we believe there's one God in three persons. And you're saying you can take the Scripture over here? Well, now I've got to go get it for you. No way. All right. You're going to find that in, I think, 14th Psalm. And also maybe 50-something Psalm. How's that for getting it narrowed down for you? You can also put "there is no God" in your electronic device if you have one of those in front of you. And you'd find a couple places. All right, this is 14th Psalm. We've done this before, so it's not really new to you. But let's just pluck it on out of here. All right, this is 14th chapter, the first verse. But I'm not going to. I'm just going to get this. This is 14 and the second third of the verse. I'm not going to give you the whole verse yet, although you've already read it by now. All right? It says, there is no God. It says it, doesn't it? You're looking at it. If you're looking at it right now, you see, I can take that and I can prove, using the Holy Scriptures, there is no God. All right? Let's go home. Lesson over. Is that rightly dividing the word of truth? No. That's wrongly dividing it. That's not the way to divide that scripture. That's not even taking the whole scripture. Now, we know these verse numbers are not silly inspired. I know I don't mean to get you distracted by all that, but men have added these numbers to help us, to aid us. So you can go to the same place I'm going right now. Pretty helpful. The whole verse says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Ah, That doesn't teach there is no God. It teaches that the fool believes there is no God. Quite a difference. Now, I know that's an extreme, but it's not hard for the youngest one here to see how the people can take the Scripture and take the same Scripture and use it differently to prove something totally different. We could go to other examples, but I think you see that. I think you can see that. Rightly divide the word of truth. Why that was important here in particular was they had the Old Testament Scriptures, and I believe they had some of the some of the Gospels, even at the time that Paul is here, because he makes reference to some of those Gospels. I thought that was kind of neat that the brother brought that up. But he references some of those things, and they needed to understand there's some differences in what the Old Testament taught about things and the way we should worship and what we're under and what the New Testament is. As an example would be the teachings of the law. You know, today and even in the New Testament church, they did not make animal sacrifices. We do not make any animal sacrifices. The Old Testament Scripture is full of animal sacrifices. And God told them to make those offerings. Over and over again, He told them to sacrifice those animals. So does that, we find that, I could go and I could say, brethren, here it is in the Holy Scriptures, God said we're to make those animal sacrifices. And we could promote that as a doctrine that we're under today. But that would not be rightly dividing the word. Because we can go to a lot of Scriptures that said all those things pointed to the one sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And that sacrifice has come and has been fulfilled. And Hebrews talks about the blood of those bulls and goats did not take away a single sin. It was not meant to take away a sin, but it was meant to magnify the need for a blood sacrifice, a perfect blood sacrifice to take away our sins. And of course, the New Testament's full of them worshiping God, and never one time do I find where they made an animal sacrifice in the New Testament Scriptures. So one of the divisions that they needed to do at the time, and we still need to do, is to rightly divide what. Now, does it mean that everything in the Old Testament is we're not under anything in the Old Testament Scriptures? That would be the other side of the ditch. On the other side of the road, well, it's Old Testament, so it's old, and it's of no use. It's no benefit. It's old, and we only like new stuff. Only new. New and improved is the only stuff that's really the good stuff. Now, you know, especially the older we get, we know that's not true. No, because when he said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. Well, that's only Old Testament. We don't have to worry about that. Is that true? No. That still holds today. Still wrong to do those things. We're still under that. We're still under that today, Lord. And Jesus reaffirmed those things when that brother came there asking him and trying to trip him up and all that. Well, which commandment's the most important one? And he gave him two. Serve the Lord with all your heart and mind. Serve God, Him only. First article of faith. Serve Him first. And then love thy neighbors thyself. Well, it went from 10 to 2. Yeah. And it's perfect because all the rest of those, I think the first two we're talking about was the first two and the 10 was talking about God and serving Him only and then keeping the Sabbath holy. That kind of wraps up those first two in the one that He gave. And then the rest of them, all those things about murdering and coveting and everything else, they're applicable to our neighbor. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to kill him. Yeah. You're not going to steal from your neighbor if you love him. And all those things, you see, wrapped up in those two laws. So, rightly dividing the word of truth is critical along with this. But let's go back over here, because I feel like we haven't spent enough time for sure. Third chapter of 2 Timothy, all Scripture, the entirety of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means breathed in. Expiration means when your baloney goes bad. Well, yeah, it does, but it means breathe out. Inspiration means breathe in. Expiration means breathe out. God breathed in to these men. This isn't this word that he used men to write this out. He used many different men of totally different backgrounds, totally different professions over many thousands of years. This book is unlike any other book that has ever been, ever would be. It's not just a book. It is the Word of God. If you just stop and you think about that, it should make a difference how we see it, how we hold it, how we spend time with it. I've read lots of different books. Many I had to read. Some I didn't have to. Many I had to read. And they had some value in them. There are some books that don't have any value in them. We're not having a book burning later or anything like that. But some are only, that's their only work, maybe, is to generate heat. But this word is the word of God. Is the word of our God. It's the inspired word of God. He breathed into these men to pin down these words which are God's word. It is so important, as long and often as we read the Bible and the Holy Scriptures, that we don't lose sight of the fact that this is not just some collection of men's opinions. It's not just a collection of men's experiences. It's not just a collection of history and science and math, and it has all these things in it, but this is the Word of God. It is precious and different from any other words that we might read. It is the Word of God. It is inspired of God. He breathed into them. It is inspired of God. Who's the source of this book? God. He's the author and the source of this book. It's special. Now, if it's His book, here's what else we can know about. Every part of it is true. Because we know, we believe that God cannot lie. We believe that God is all righteousness. So every part of this word is true, is good, is right. There is no error in this. Men have written many books, and probably every one of them has some error. And oftentimes they make revisions to their books. We don't need a revision to this, as it is God's Word. And it is perfect. I know it's been translated into English, thank goodness. I'm really trying not to get over into the KJV only thing. But we believe this is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There is a great profit in us reading it, studying it, using it. And in more detail, it is profitable for the following ways. It is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, which is learning and teaching. And that's one of the attributes of a bishop or an elder, is that he be apt to teach. To teach you things that you did not understand, or give you more understanding, more enlightenment about those things. About what things? About the doctrine, about the Word. Not just anything they want to come up with, but the teachings, the learnings, and the Scripture is profitable for that. For teaching and learning about the things of God. If you come and you're under the sound of gospel and you don't learn anything, you're not taught anything, then that's not using the Scripture as it was intended to be used. You're not growing. You're not increasing. It says over there, I think in Peter, that we would be increasing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No matter where we get, no matter how many times we've been in church, no matter how many years we've been a member, we still ought to be growing and learning more. There's no place where we get where we don't graduate from this. That's not where we get. Now in heaven, we'll know all things as they are known. We'll see, not through a glass darkly, but we'll see Him face to face, and we'll know all those things that we are to know, and He gives them unto us. But until then, we are benefit and we profit having the Holy Scriptures, brethren. It's profitable. It's beneficial to us to have those. Profitable for doctrine. Profitable for reproof. Well, we could skip over that one. No, we can't. What is this reproof? It's a correction and not correction. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm sorry. It's conviction of a fault. It's to show us error. It's to expose an error. It's a light. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is a light. It shows us error. It shows us a pitfall. It shows us an obstacle that we need to avoid. It shows us when we're wrong. And it convicts us of that through the Holy Spirit. It convicts us that that's wrong. Have you ever been wrong? You don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever been wrong about Scripture? Oh, we all have to say, yeah, there's something that I didn't see. And then somebody got up and they showed me in the Scripture and they showed where it was taught there. And at the time, the Holy Ghost was there and He showed me that that was true and that my thinking was wrong on that. Holy Scripture is profitable for reproof. Conviction of a fault. I want to grab John 16:8. Obviously we're not done with that one, but this, and there's a risk that I come over here, we won't get back. We're going to try to get back best we can. John 16:8. Well, 16:7. Sorry. Y'all could just automatically, whatever scripture I give you, just go ahead and back up automatically, and I wouldn't have to tell you. And you'd be probably where you need to get to, where we're going to go. He says over here, John 16:7, nevertheless I tell the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. I'm still stuck in the previous article of faith, but that's okay. It all ties together. All right? And when he has come, He will reprove. That's a variation of the reproof that we're over here. He will reprove the world of sin, exposing. See, manifestation of an error. Exposure of error. Exposure of false doctrines, false teachings. He comes to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. They believe not on Christ. Error or truth? Error. They should have believed, and one of the reasons that the Jews did not believe on Him is because of the first article of faith. They did not believe that He was equal with God. Some of them thought He was a good fellow. Some of them thought He was a prophet. Whom do ye say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter rose up to say that. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Ghost came, the Comforter, to reprove, to expose error. The doctrine, now I'm back over here, 3 Timothy again. The Scripture is profitable for reproof. The Scripture is profitable for correction. Once we see the error, once we see we're off the path, how do we correct that? How do we... The word actually means to make straight something that is broken or bent or whatever, to make it straight. How do we do that? We oftentimes find ourselves in error. Once we expose the error, what's the next step? To correct that. The teacher grades the paper and shows, I have to go with math because I like math. She shows the error. You missed this step. Johnny, not to pick on Brother Johnny. Sorry, I got to pick on somebody else too, Brother Johnny. You missed this step. You forgot to do this. And you came up with the wrong answer. Little Johnny. Not Brother Johnny. Little Johnny goes away. Well, I can't do math. Sometimes that happens, you know. I can't do math. Oh, well. Might as well not try anymore. A good teacher will not allow that to happen. A good teacher will show them the error and then show them how to correct it. How to do it the right way. Johnny, you just missed, you can do it. I know you can do it. You missed this step. So just pay attention when you get to this kind of problem again that you don't miss this step and you'll get the right answer. How do we get there? We're all prone to making errors and mistakes. We hopefully don't just stop there, but we say, well, how do we make it right? How do we correct it? Well, the Holy Scriptures are profitable for us in correction. For correction and for instruction in righteousness. For instruction, that's talking about the nurturing, the training, the discipline, and the knowledge. Correction is how to get right, and this instruction is how to stay on that course. How to stay on that. As you're instructed in the right way to begin with, it's on the next type of math that comes up. The teacher is good at explaining and instructing little Johnny and showing him on these type of problems. And he's attentive to that word and he listens and he studies that word. He may not make any errors in the next unit. He may have listened more intently because he has good instruction as to the right way to do it. And he may avoid error totally on that. Because of good instruction in righteousness. Wow, do we see how important the Holy Scriptures are for us? Are we applying this in a spiritual sense? Somebody says, you know, experience is your best teacher. Usually that's in reference to people making mistakes, isn't it? And there are some things that we've all, mom and dad, the teacher, the older person, whoever it is, had told us, if you're going to do it, you need to do it this way. And we've all, somewhere along the way, said, well, I think I'm going to do it my way. And sometimes that wound up as a bad result. Sometimes, because we didn't listen, we went into error. That's happened to all of us. None of us or escape from doing that. But does it mean that everything we learn in this old world, especially when it comes to the things of God and the things of the Spirit of God and the spiritual experiences we have, the things of God that we go down, that we have to learn by error every time? There's a lot of things that we benefit from instruction in righteousness. Now, part of that instruction can be, watch out for this error here, little Johnny. I got to get somebody else next Sunday, Brother Johnny. Little Ray's coming up. That if you say, now, little Johnny, little Ray, if you get down to this part here, watch out. A lot of times people make an error right here. Watch out for it. Now that's still part of instruction in righteousness. And if he takes heed to that, and he listens to it, because it's coming from authority figure. It's coming from someone who has more understanding than he does. That's God, by the way, of the Holy Scriptures. Does he not know more than we do? Does he not know all things? Not all things given unto him. He created us. We're his workmanship. He made us. He made the heavens and the earth. This is his creation. You think he knows how to deal with whatever it is? Why don't we listen to him? We're all guilty of not doing it. But let's not always go the path. And that's why I heard, you know, hear some preachers say, unless preacher's gone through Jonah's hell, they ain't much of a preacher or some of that. I don't believe you have to go through that. I believe we can learn a lot from other people's mistakes and not fall in the same errors that they fell into. That's what he says over here in the New Testament. He said these things were given before for our examples. We learn from bad examples and good examples. The Scripture gives us bad examples and good examples on anything that you're going to face in this world. Well, what about me fixing that problem on my computer? You know that's not what we're talking about, don't you? We're talking about spiritual things. But even when you're dealing with that computer, I tell you not to get mad, get upset. Oh, yeah. That's right. Because it'd be bad if you get upset. You know what happens when we get mad? We're likely to sin, is what Scripture says. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? It gives us, though, this word is sufficient. And we're going to get to that. I need to keep on reading here. But he says, it's for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then he says, that the man of God may be perfect. Again, this doesn't mean sinless. This doesn't mean that you can take the Word, the Holy Scriptures, and you can work out some formula of doing this and doing that and reach a state that you have no more sin. You're going to have to cut out 1 John, first chapter, where he said over there, if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar. But we just said that all the Scripture is from God. That doesn't mean you're allowed to cut anything out. You're not allowed to take that out. There's plenty of teaching in here that when it says this perfect word, all right, not everywhere we've got to rightly divide that word perfect. There are some places where we talk about a perfected body. That means a perfection without sin. Okay? That's when Christ comes back. But when he's referring to us here in this time, reaching this type of perfection, he's talking about not no sin, but a completeness. Completeness in our skills, our training, our union with the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. That would be a perfection, not just parts of it. Put on the whole armor to get the benefit. You know, we understand that basic concept. These young people understand this basic concept that a man goes out to fight battle and he's got different pieces of armor that he might put on to protect the different parts of his body. Would it be a good idea for him to leave off his helmet but put everything else on? No, because his head would be vulnerable, and we know what happens if our head gets injured. We are more likely to perish because of that. But to be perfectly complete and furnished, we need to put on the whole armor of God. That's what's referenced here. May be perfect throughly. Now, I stumble on that before, and I know I've said thoroughly before instead of throughly. But whether you say it's one of them, this is what the Word says, so we should endeavor to say this exactly like it says here. But even when I looked up, because I have to figure all this stuff out, when you look up throughly and thoroughly, you pretty much get to about the same point anyway. They're talking about a completeness. That's why it's attached to this word perfect. They're attached together. Perfect, thoroughly. See, I'm going to mess it up. So I'm warning you to pay attention to that. This is why you've got to read it and study it yourself. As those who are more noble and Berea, because they study daily to see will those things be so. Perfect, thoroughly furnished. It's implying a complete. The Scripture is complete. Complete for what you need. Whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, whatever your challenge you're facing, you're going to find things in God's Word to help you. I'm persuaded of it. I've used it. I can tell you that. You've used it. Brother have used it all down through the ages. They have accounted on and understood the benefit of the Word of God. It's beneficial. It's profitable. And it's complete. That's amazing too. That you know, God who knew all things. Well, He didn't know what we'd be facing today. Did He not? That's not the same God that we've been talking about. Because the God that we believe in, the Scriptures testify of, He knows all things. There's nothing new to Him. Nothing new. If you know everything, there's nothing new, is there? Nothing new coming down the pipe there, because you know all things. And He gave a word that is sufficient and complete for His people for all ages. We don't need something else. Does that mean you can't read other useful materials that talk about the words? I'm not saying that. I have a bookshelf full of different books and things about the Scriptures. But we got to be careful to not lean too heavily on anything except the inspired Word of God. Those can have errors in those things. And you're looking and saying, He don't know what the time it is. All right, we're almost finished this verse, but we're for sure not finished this article. Man, I thought I was going to get through this one. Anyway, that the man of God, who's it going to benefit? Who's it for? We're almost done with this scripture and we're going to close. That the man of God, is this, the Holy Scripture is beneficial for everyone? Anyone? Was it given to benefit any and everybody? This says it's given that the man of God. What's talking about preachers? No, that's not what you're restricting it. But that kind of don't make sense if you just thought about it for more than a second, does it? You mean only preachers could benefit from it? No, of course not. But it does say the man of God. His children, His people benefit from these things because they're spiritual. But He says, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished. That furnished is a supplying. A supplying of anything that you need. Any of your needs. The Lord is able to supply us of those needs. Wow. We had three references next to that one. And I think we've only looked at one reference. So, Lord willing, we're back here to this Ark of Faith next Sunday. But I don't know for sure that we will be. But you'd be praying the Lord would give us that guidance. And if we are, pray that the Lord would give us His Word to preach and teach you and instruct you in these things that you might receive a great benefit from it. Appreciate your attention and prayer.